Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's show is part of our Classics Collection, a series of select rebroadcasts. As you know, some programs need to be brought back because of their impact. And today's show is extremely special because of the serious nature of the topic, a topic often hidden, unspoken. Today's show is led by Alfredo Canencia, Martin Arinaga, and Billy Lyle, and features our special guest, James Webb. Here's our feature with James Webb.
All right, thank you guys for letting me be on the air and really just share what God has done in my life. And you know, I was born into a pastor's home, and I grew up with my father and my mother being a pastor. And then at about 4 or 5, I guess, I got molested by another pastor's son. And then later on, I got molested again by another pastor's son for about 3 years straight. And I even had this guy live in our home, and that was pretty spooky because I felt like, well, how could my parents do this to me? And even though they didn't know what was going on, they would never put me in that position. I was angry at them, and I was like, why would you do this to me? So I kind of hated them and hated God and went through this whole rebellion stage. But then I kind of stuffed all my feelings and forgot it even happened for a little while because I just couldn't deal with the pain. And ended up coming about 12 years old. I would wake up every night and cry. And I was wondering, why am I crying? And then when I was 13, it just hit me. And from then, I just started looking for anything to do to kill the pain in my heart. And it was through drugs and alcohol. And it started just by little things at a time here, just smoking a little weed here and some, you know, LSD, and then I ended up basically by 15 I was addicted to ice, and started selling ice at 15 to support my habit, and was doing all kind of crazy stuff, robbing cars and we robbed a house before, you know, just so many messed up things that we were involved in doing just to support our habits. And I went down this road for a while, and then I got tricked into a rehab, ended up going to a rehab, and was forced in there where they scream in your face every day and just different stuff, tell you you're a loser and cuss at you and stuff. So, and that worked for a little while, and I stayed in there for almost a year, and I got out, and I, you know, during that time I really turned myself to God, and I did good for about about 2 years. And then I went down. I just started by saying, you know what? I wasn't really. I was addicted to ice, and I was addicted to, you know, just drugs. But I wasn't really an alcoholic. So I said, I'll just have a beer. What's a beer gonna hurt? And then as I had that one beer, that beer turned into more, and basically I went right down that whole drug train again. And this time I was addicted to alcohol and drugs at the same time. And I tried to stay away from ice because I thought that was my problem. So I was doing cocaine and LSD and all this other stuff, thinking that I was doing okay. But it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't helping me because, I mean, ecstasy is still a drug and it's still going to mess you up. So ended up going down that. I got right back into ice again. And I started going down that road, and I started selling ice again because all my friends are like, hey, James, can you help me out? And so I'd help all these people, and then people, my dealer told me, hey, why don't you just take some of this, and then you can break it up, and then you can pay me later. And then there I was selling drugs again. And it was just basically all those dealers that I started selling to, basically at an 8-year period, basically they were all buying for me by the end of that. And had crazy incidents. I mean, where, I mean, so many close calls, and God was trying to get my attention through, I mean, this one time we picked up a motorcycle at 12 o'clock at night, and I was sitting in the back, and we're driving down the road, and the cops pull us over, because who picks up a motorcycle at 12 o'clock at night in the back of a truck? I mean, that's just somebody on drugs, right? So anyway, we get pulled over, and it wasn't foreign to us. It was like, oh, why not? But we get pulled over, and he doesn't have a license and all this stuff. And we just done a big drug deal, and we had all this money and drugs on us. And these guys, they pull us over, and the cops separate us. And as they separate us, they start digging through the stuff. They pull out all this drugs and money, and they start counting all the money. And we just saw, basically they started like digging in my pockets, and I at the last minute, I just, right when he was about to go in my front pocket where I had all the drugs, I said, hey, what are you doing? I didn't do anything wrong. And the cop let me go, but I would have got busted for all the drugs that was in the car if he would have went in my front pocket and found the drugs on me, because they would have just instantly linked me to that. Mm-hmm. And you know, God's getting my attention. I had many close calls like that. That's not the first one. And you know, God was getting my attention, but I wasn't listening. And he was giving me a second chance, so I started going down this road, and one day I had whatever I wanted. I had money, I had girls, I had basically whatever I needed and whatever I wanted, but I was empty inside, and I didn't know what to do, and so I told God one day. I remember I was standing there looking at this guy, and I said, God, I'm so tired of my life. You know, I want to change that. I don't know how. And 1 week later, the feds, I was doing a drug deal, and here comes the feds, all different directions, cars coming super fast, burning out, and guys jumping out of cars with guns in my head, and, you know, told me to get on the ground. I dove on the ground because I didn't want them to slam me on the ground, because they're pretty big guys. And, you know, they arrested me that night and took me to the jail cell, and I just remember sitting there, and I said, man, God, I didn't want to change like this. And because, you know, God has got different plans for our lives, you know, than we have, because we want to change, but we want the easy way. Yeah. And so after that, I get in the real jail cell. I sit there for a while, and I just got on my knees, and I said, you know, God, I tried it my way. It doesn't work. I want to try it your way. And I just really got him. I just lifted my hands in there and surrendered to God and said, I can't do it anymore. I want to do it your way. And at that moment, I was drinking about a bottle of Crown Royal a day, and I was going out to bars and spending a couple hundred bucks every night in bars. And I had a couple hundred dollar ice habit. And in an instant, God delivered me from my drug addiction and alcoholism. Wow.
Awesome. No withdrawals.
No withdrawals.
Wow.
And you know, it's funny because one of my dad's intercessors, not funny, but it's pretty cool. One of my dad's intercessors was praying for me at that time. And she saw my hands lifted in the air and chains falling off my arms. And that's basically what happened. But, you know, that was just the beginning of a journey. I basically had to go down and learn to forgive. I was facing 20 years in prison. My parents were nice enough to bail me out. You know, I put my parents through the ringer through these years. And they basically spent time with me every day. Like, we'd have like 4-hour Bible studies in the morning. Wow. And really, God was just pouring the Word of God into my life, which I needed because I was going to go to prison in a little while. And so I learned I had to forgive these people from the molesting me. And that was a whole process in itself, which we talked about last week. And that was an amazing thing that God did for me, where I felt like a 1,000-pound weight came off my shoulders when I truly learned to forgive. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of just an amazing journey that God took me on. And when I did go to prison, I did end up getting sentenced to 4 years and 3 months. But when I did go to prison, I was the freest man in there. I walked around with a smile on my face because I was free on the inside, and I've never been that free in my life. Mm-hmm.
So you felt like by going into the prison, that was the best thing for you, where God, you know, was able to work in your life.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, we kind of back it up a little bit about your story when you said that, you know, you were crying out for help. Mm-hmm. And you were like at the end of your rope. Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of times God allows us to go to that place right. where we cry out to him. And the funny thing about it was he wanted to change, but not that drastically change by right. having the feds come in and bust you. Yeah?
Right.
Wow. So what was going through your mind, you know, in those times when you actually prayed? Because you said something last week was really powerful where God was, you wasn't serving the God of your father or your mother anymore. Right. You're serving the God for your life. You had a relationship with God.
So when I went to prison, it was an amazing thing that happened because, you know, my parents had their God, you know, and really, I wouldn't trade going to prison for the world. It was actually, besides my salvation and marrying my wife, I wouldn't trade anything else for it. But, you know, that's when God became my God. He wasn't the God of my mom, my dad, or anybody else. He really became my God. And it was such an awesome experience because I loved him. And I knew that he was taking care of me every day. He was the one sustaining me during that time because it was not easy, you know, he kept me safe. I mean, it was just amazing. And I really got a chance to know God during that time where it was just me and God. You know, it wasn't like my parents helping me to learn the Bible studies and different things.
Yeah. Well, you was in prison. You was actually having cell ministry.
Right.
By having Bible studies with some other people around. And how was that going? Because, you know, it was important that you grow in your faith mm-hmm. and you walk with God. It's one thing to encounter God, but to sustain it in your walk. How was it like in the prison, you know, and really trying to live for God?
You know, if you think you're doing something, but you're not really teaching anybody else to do it, you're not really a disciple. I think if you're not discipling someone else, then you're not really doing anything. So.
Yeah.
So I was discipling other guys, and it was great.
That's good. Yes.
That's great. I mean, I think we're up against a break. But you know, James, you've had such an awesome story. So many things have gone on in your life. And when we come back from this break, tell us a little bit about what God's done in your life since then. I mean, because you didn't stay in prison. Like you said, your sentence was only 4 years. And since then, God's done tremendous things in your life. Right. Really redeemed you from all of that past. And so we can't wait to hear that when we come back from our break. If you're listening, well, we want to invite you to call in and join this discussion. Maybe you have some questions for James or one of our other guest hosts here today. And we'd love to hear your story. Maybe you're struggling in an addiction or you feel hopeless. And maybe God, how can God change my situation like he changed James? Well, we want to invite you to call in. Our number is 808-296-5467. That's 808-296-5467. We had a great discussion with some callers last week, and we'd love to hear from you this week. Again, the number is 808-296-5467. When we come back, we'll hear the end of the story from James Webb. Before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me.
I'll lead you home. One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700-998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. online. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Abuse, drugs, prison, and hope. Welcome back to our show. It's good to have you with us. You're listening to a special rebroadcast program, which is part of the Classics Collection of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and to find out more about our show and to hear this show in its entirety and get other resources for living the good life, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, here's more with our featured guest, James Webb, and leading our show today, Alfredo Canencia, Billy Lyle, and Martin Arinaga. Here's more with James Webb.
And before we went to our break, James was telling us about his life of drugs that stemmed from molestation when he was a child. And he was telling us about how he got stuck in prison facing a 20-year sentence. James, tell us about that. You mentioned before we went to break that you didn't spend 20 years, mm-hmm. But it was rather around 3.5. Why don't you mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was amazing. I really had a lot of people praying for me at this time. When I went to the court, when I was facing 20 years, I went to court, and I had so many people packed in that courtroom that was there rooting for me, because the whole church was standing behind me. And the judge said she's never seen this many people rallied behind any one person. And, you know, just to know that I had that support and people praying for me, and there's people all over the whole world praying for me because of my father. And when I went in there, I just had a peace to know, okay, God, it's in your hands. And really, I had prayed every day, oh, God, get me out of this, get me out of this, get me out of this. But really, I got to the place where I was in peace to say, okay, God, whatever happens is your will for my life, and I'm fine with this. And I had this something in the back of my mind, if it's over 8 years, I might want to run. but the whole thing is this, that God had a plan for my life. And I only got sentenced to 4 years, 3 months instead of 20 years. And, wow. You know, that's a miracle in itself. I had people that wrote letters for me and just, you know, outstanding members of the community that just really rallied to help me. And it made a difference.
And so your prison time was really a time where you got to draw close to God. We talked about earlier how you even led some other men in the prison through mm-hmm. Bible studies on a regular basis. Right. And you just drew close to God. Now, fast forward to us. You're getting ready to be released from prison. Mm-hmm. Your prison sentence cut down to three. And you're about to come back out into regular life. Right. What was going through your mind as you got ready to face the world again, a changed man this time? Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a spooky thing because I didn't know how to live life and talk to people sober and like, you know, like real people. And it was because I'd spent over 14 years of my life on ice and, mm-hmm. and drinking. And so just to live my life being sober and really, can I do this? Am I capable of doing this? I mean, I know how to sell drugs, but I don't know how to live a normal life. And to really get out and face normal life, it was pretty spooky. I mean, it was a sobering experience. And when I did get out, it was amazing because I had someone set up a job through my church already for me. So I was working construction and you know, I was in a halfway house for 6 months that really I didn't like that too much. But I told my parents I would rather be in prison and they got pissed off at me. I don't know if we can say it on the radio.
No, you did. You know, so you're getting ready to, you know, get back to regular life. I mean, did you ever come to a place where you felt like, man, God, can you really redeem the mess that I've made of my life? I mean, was that ever going through your mind? How did you deal with
it?
It
went through my head a numerous times. I mean, probably a daily, you know. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, God, can you do something with a life so messed up? And it's amazing because now looking back, I just go, wow, God, you've done, and I know that there's so much more for him to do, but I mean, and it's a work in process, but I'm still blown away this, like, how much God has changed me in this, the last, since I've come out and in an environment I've been in. You know, God changed me a lot while I was in there, but I think I've even grown more since I've come out. Mm. And it's just being around solid Christian people that really push me the right way and push me to excel in Christ more. Because I was the one kind of pushing other people in there, and now I'm being pushed by greater people.
Wow, so God did redeem you. I mean, so what happened? I mean, you said looking back now, I mean, what are some of the things that God's done in your life since getting released from prison till now?
Well, I know when I was working in construction, I had some people that River of Life asked me if I wanted to come down for an interview, and I was thinking, that's the last thing I want to do.
The homeless shelter.
The homeless shelter. Yeah. I was like, there's no way I want to work with homeless people. I don't really care about, you know. I mean, yeah, I love them because I'm called to love them, but I don't really want to do anything like that. And, you know, I went down for an interview just out of respect for the people, because I had great respect for the people that run the place. And when I went down there, they told me to take a week and pray about it. And I was like, oh, man, come on. So I took my week to pray about it. And they told me to dress down, grow my beard out, and actually stand in line and eat a meal just like everybody else. Wow. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm crazy. What? And I went and did it. And then I the next day, I prayed for a rainout at my construction job. I got a rainout, and I went to go volunteer. And so I told God, if you really want me to work there, you got to speak to me in three ways. And so he spoke to me through the word, he spoke to me through my mentors, and I just had this great peace come on me, and I just knew that that's what I was supposed to do. Mm. And the great thing about that is I met my wife through that. She was coming to volunteer, my beautiful, lovely awesome. Wife, Brandy. And, she came to volunteer down there through her school program, and, you know, we met, and, you know, it's just amazing how I didn't want to work this place, and God, but it was God's plan, and he really, really brought that whole thing for me getting married through that.
See, when you obey God, man, he brings everything
exactly,
you need, isn't that right?
Exactly.
You know, in your story, James, you talked several times about having a discussion with God, or deal-making with God, right? Get right. me out of this, or send me three signs. So there's this communication back and forth. Mm-hmm. I know there, for many people, this... they acknowledge it may be a higher being,
right.
but they don't have this interaction. God's somewhat aloof mm-hmm. and just watching and observing.
Right.
But yet you have a living relationship. Can you just share a little bit and maybe speak to those people who might feel like there is a God, but he's a kind of do your own deal and mm-hmm. I'll take care of you when you die. You come and see me and I'll yeah. tell you where to go from right. there. So can you just touch on that topic?
You know, I believe that God wants to have a relationship with every single one of us. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sent his son to die for us on the mm-hmm. cross, you know, because he wants us to be in relationship with him. And the thing is this, if the Bible says, if you seek me, you will find me. And, you know, I was seeking after God. I was opening my Bible. I was desperate. You know, I was like, God, if you're there, I want to know you. And I was desperate. Mm-hmm. I opened my Bible. I would spend time in just trying to talk. I mean, if I was talking to the ceiling, but then soon, he was answering me back. You know, there was someone, you know, answering me back through the word and different things.
Well, how do you know it's from God rather than, because it could be you talking to yourself,
right.
answering yourself, listening to what you want to hear, or it could be Satan perhaps deceiving you and telling you what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So how do you filter?
I don't think the devil's telling me to go to church and to go to small group and spend time with people. And okay. So, yeah.
You're confident. And there was answered prayer. I mean, you know, how you got the right. job, you met your wife.
Yes.
I mean, there was some other things that God's done in your life, right. too, as a confirmation. Tell us a little bit about that.
And you know, I actually, when I first got out, I was talking to Alfredo, and he told me, I said, you know, I want to get involved with young people because I don't want them to go down the same path I went down. And, you know, I want to be able to help them to not do drugs, to, you know, to really just live a life that could be pleasing to God, and they could really make a difference in this world. And it was kind of amazing. He just told me, come out and check out our youth service. So I just would come out every Friday night and just kind of stand around and feel like a weirdo, you know, just kind of standing there. But then soon I got to know people, and I would just do whatever it took. I would serve. I would sweep the floor. I would clean up chairs or clean up messes, and whatever they told me. I mean, whatever I saw that needed to be done or whatever they told me to do, I would just do. And then pretty soon I started, they told me, hey, you want to help us out a little bit more? So I'd drive vans and do whatever. And next thing, now then the church hired me, and now I work with the youth part time, and I'm only part time at River of Life. And
wow.
And you know, that's really where I think God is leading me, and I'm enjoying making a difference in these kids' lives.
That's great. That's awesome. You know, James, I remember when you first came out on those Friday nights, and you know, you were so willing to just serve, and whatever we asked you to do, you were jumping at it. And I saw a real difference in you. But you were transformed. There was a brokenness in you, and I saw that real excitement in your eyes that you really wanted to help the next generation. Right. Although you didn't know, we were testing you at that time, see if you were just going to come, you know, and go through the motions. But you really had a heart to serve. Mm-hmm. And when we saw that, we said, "Hey, this guy, we know we can trust him with the next generation."
Man, looking at your life now, I mean, all that you're doing, I mean, both of your jobs with River of Life and with the church working with young people, it's not about you. You're serving other people, trying to make a difference in the community. You're married now. You know, I mean, that must be a great blessing for you. I mean,
awesome.
Looking at your life now compared to, you know, where you were even 5 or 10 years ago, I mean, what would you say to someone who's looking at their lives and look at, all they see is the mess that they've made of it, or even circumstances, because you were molested. Yeah. It wasn't your fault. Yeah. What would you say to someone who feels like, man, can God ever make anything out of this mess? Yeah.
You know, May, I make 8 years sober, and I didn't think I could make it a half a day.
Wow.
And I mean, I didn't even think I could make it a few hours. I mean, I smoked from when I woke up to when I fell asleep. When I drank from when I woke up to when I fell asleep. When I woke up in the middle of the night, I would drink. I would have my alcohol right by my bed, and I would drink in the middle of the night when I go back to sleep. I mean, that's how... You know, and I didn't think I could do it, but with the help of God, I'm really just putting my trust in other people, knowing that there's in the multitude of counselors there is wisdom. When I went around them, it just made a difference, and I was able to change my life with the help of others in small group settings, in church settings, and that you can't do it alone, but you need the help of Christ, and you need the help of the small group and other people.
Wow.
That's good. You know, we're coming on to a break here, and we're going to come back again with James and just sharing his story, his redemptive story, and how God has changed his life. And we want to encourage you, you know, if you want to have a discussion with us or maybe a question for James, you can give us a call at 808-296-5467. Again, that number is 808-296-5467.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinenen Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Physical abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse. How do we climb up out of the emotional gutters that such abuse will leave us? We can all relate in some way. This is a special rebroadcast as part of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show's Classics Collection. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org, get more of our ministry resources, and discover how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our programs are now downloadable, accessible 24/7. Now, let's take in more. Leading our show today is Alfredo Canencia, Martin Arenaga, and Billy Lyle. Our featured guest, James Webb.
Now, during the break, we had a discussion, and Billy, I know you had a question that you thought would be relevant to our listeners. Can you go ahead and?
Yeah, you know, I thought it's so amazing, James, just the amazing redemptiveness of God and how He brought you from where you were broken and messed up to this awesome life now. But it wasn't easy, was it? I mean, when you came out, there were some serious changes that you had to make in your life, because there wasn't some hocus-pocus wand that was woven over you, but there were some choices you had to make. Tell us a little bit about that. What are some choices and changes you had to make in your life?
You know, when I first... God bless you. God did deliver me instantly from the drugs and alcohol. I had no withdrawals, but I still had to make a choice every day whether I was gonna drink or do drugs that day or not. And you know, it God delivered me from cigarettes during that time too, but I chose to smoke again. You know, and so it was like I went down this path of I couldn't change overnight. I wasn't instantly like a good person. It took a long time, actually. It took years of working all this stuff out of me. But I still had to make a choice every day. Well, I'm not going to use drugs. I even found drugs, you know, after that point, I found drugs in my house. And, you know, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to do these drugs, or am I going to throw it away or get rid of it? You know, and so, of course, I got rid of it. But, and then, you know, there's on the issues of sex and pornography and, you know, all the stuff that I had to get rid of, because that was all entangled in my life too. And so I remember telling my one day, I was like, hey pastor, guess what, I got rid of my girlfriend. God was telling me she wanted to have sex, and I told her no. And you know, but it took me a while to get out of these things that I was still doing, you know. And it was probably 5 months after, you know, I got busted, and I was really seeking God, but there was so much junk in my life that it took me a while to get out of.
So would you say that, you know, as those temptations, those thoughts that were coming at you, how you dealt with that by, you know, having the Word of God in your life and focusing your mind? Because if your mind is empty and you're being tempted to do things you've done before, it's so easy to go down that road.
Right.
But you have to fill your mind with something that can combat that or come against that. Would you agree? I would say that probably the Word of God coming into your mind.
I definitely would say the Word of God, and just really that relationship with God, because I knew that someone was there rooting for me, pushing me, like saying, come on, James, you can do that. And the love of my family really pushing me. And I knew that I'd messed up so bad and hurt them so bad. And just really, it wasn't like I was doing it for them. I wasn't doing it for them. I mean, partly I had 20 years, to be honest. I had 20 years hanging over my shoulder. That made it easier to be good, you know, and to not make a bad choice, you know. So I really was seeking God, and God's word was a huge thing that was making me. Because you're not going to, 20 years when you're a drug addict, it's not going to really scare you that much, because you're so messed up in the head. But God was really making a difference in the Word of God, you know, renews your mind. And I was talking about somebody with this somebody earlier today, and I just said, you know, the all the drugs I did, I know that the Word of God has really restored my mind.
Wow, that's awesome. That's amazing.
You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that, you know, how can a young man, and you're still young, keeps his way pure. Mm-hmm. By taking heed to the Word of God,
right. Yeah,
that's really important.
You know, I'm hearing your story about how much your life has changed compared to it was before. And if you're in a situation, a listener might be in a situation where they realize their life isn't what it is, and they're hearing you. Why is it so difficult then to cross that bridge to be able to say, you know, I give up? What took you so long? And yet you have to get thrown in a jail to do that. Many people hopefully avoid that. But right. Why do you think it's so difficult for someone who might be willing to say, I made a mess of my life, and yet they see other people doing so well? What's to stop them from saying that?
For me, it was really getting away from all the people that I was in. And, you know, when you get busted by the feds, all your drug friends don't really want to hang around you too much anymore, right? They want to, like, I mean, you call somebody up and they're like, oh, got to go.
They don't want to come near you.
That makes a big difference, you know. But, and really just, I hit my rock bottom. And my rock bottom wasn't near like most other people. I mean, I had money and whatever I wanted, I had. But I was so empty on the inside, and that was my rock bottom, that I knew that I was called for more. I knew that I was destined for more than what I was doing. And it just really took me to just get to the place where I was like, okay, God, help me. You know, help me. And that's
when you say that, you know, God, help me. Now, just for our listeners so they can understand, how would God help you in those situations? Because you knew you couldn't do it by yourself.
Right.
Now, I'm talking about walking this thing out and making decisions, and when you're being tempted. How did God help you?
You know, it's putting yourself around good, solid people that aren't. So, I mean, going to small groups in church, you know, going to different things where you're around good Christian people that are not, you know, real messed up. We're all messed up as Christians, but, you know, we need to be around people that are really making improvements in their life, really working their salvation out. And I really believe that being around those kind of people, my parents used to tell me all the time, the people you hang out with is what you're going to be like. And I didn't believe a word that they said. I was, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know what? And it's funny because the people would call me the drug dealer with morals at first, you know, like the because I wouldn't do all the things that all the other drug dealers did. But the next thing I knew, I was doing all the things that the other drug dealers were. And I was no different than anybody else. So it's who you hang out with is going to make a big difference in your life. And it's really surrendering your life to God is going to, because I was so tired and I was so frustrated with my life that I wanted change so bad that I was like, God, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do. Mm. And it's really having that attitude is, and you know what? God is so good. He's going to bring, as long as you're seeking after it, He's going to bring good people around you that will make the difference and help you.
And then I know that prayer, God, help me, I'll do whatever you want. I mean, that can be a little scary because now your life has turned. But maybe it took that degree of being in trouble, or being in that deep in trouble before maybe James Webb would listen. Some of us might be more willing to make the adjustment sooner than that. I was wondering if someone wanted to actually do that, how does somebody go about saying, I am ready? You just say, God, I am ready? Are there words? Is there a...
You know, it's we all have our own way of doing things, and that's what mine might be totally different than yours. You just might think it in your head. That's kind of what I did. And, you know, and God, 1 week later, the feds were banging on my head with a gun. But so, you know, we all have our different ways, and we're all different, and God created us differently, and which is a great thing. And but it's go as you are to God. I mean, you don't have to be. I was so messed up when I told God that. I mean, I was messed up. There's no way. And, you know, God just took me, and it was a slow process of God working out all the junk in my life.
Wow. You're so awesome what you've gone through. And, you know, talking about when you came out and not wanting to work at the River of Life and not knowing that your wife was, your future wife at that time, was volunteering there.
Right.
Tell us about that, because, you know, when God redeems our lives, We think, you know, he might, you know, bless us to a certain degree, but he really just blew your mind.
Yeah.
And how you met your wife there.
Right. Yeah, she, I mean, that was just an awesome thing because, you know, I remember telling you, Coach, our operator, yeah. that I was like, oh, I met this girl. And he's like, oh, yeah, really? And I said, yeah. She Christian? Yeah, of course. I wouldn't, you know. And really just, I was like going, I don't know if this is, you know, because I didn't want to do any rash decisions because I made so many dumb decisions in my life. And this is, to me, was like the second most important decision of your life, right. Who you're going to marry, right? Salvation being first and who you marry second, yeah. You know. And so it was a whole thing of really, I really liked her at first. And then I was like calling her and she... And I would just, I didn't know how to act. So I would call her and tell her, when she had the test, I was like, can I pray for you? You know, like, and she thought, oh, what is this guy at first? But then, you know, then her friends encouraged her to like, keep going to volunteer and stuff. And so she kept coming back to volunteer. And then we became friends. And, you know, we went to eat pho. We'd go eat pho together after work. And I didn't even know it was her birthday. I took her to eat pho when she volunteered all morning at my work. And then we went to go eat pho together. And she's told me after we're done, she's like, oh, it's my birthday today. I was like,
wow.
You know, and then just so many great things happened. And you know, God was speaking to me through this. And I just knew when I really was seeking God, okay, God, is this the one, you know, for me? Because right. I don't want to just make a dumb decision. And that's pretty important. So, and, you know, God spoke to me that this is the one to marry. And. Yeah. And, you know, when we went on our little journeys, ups and downs, but, you know, man, so good, so awesome that God has been blessing me so much. It's it's unbelievable.
Now. You're being set up for the good life.
Yes. And my wife is such an awesome lady. You know, she loves God. She's super on it, and she's super good with her finances. She's beautiful, you know. I mean, there's this.
Is he a little bit in love with this lady right now? Is that what you're saying?
Man, I guess you really look forward to going to work when you knew she was volunteering.
Yeah,
from that day.
Yeah, I did. That was it. Was
now
fun.
There's a, you know, as you talk, you talk about being tricked into rehab, that you met your wife and it was almost set up. You know, mm-hmm. is do you think our lives are set up before we get going? I mean, or do we make up what we have? Or what are your reflections on that? Because you've been through more adventure in I don't know how many years than I've had in a lifetime. I'm fine, thank you very much.
You know, I think that God has little surprises in store for us. Sometimes when we're going the wrong way, God has had so many. Every call would be a little bit louder in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I could tell you story after story, and you'd be blown away by the stories I'd tell you. But every call was a little bit louder, and you know, I'm so hard head that at least my call had to be that hard for me to, you know, to go to prison, that kind of thing. But at least now that I'm hard head one way towards God, you know,
right. So now you're hard headed for God. Yeah. Too. So terrific.
That's good. We're up against the break again, and when we come back, we're going to have more with James. And maybe you're listening today, and you're saying, you know, how can I have a redemptive story like James's? Maybe you've made a mess of your life in different. Maybe it's not drugs. Maybe it's other areas. We want to let you know today that just like James, you too can have a good life redemption story. And we want to invite you to call in, and we'd love to be able to talk with you. That number again is 296-5467. And when we come back, we'd love to talk with you, and we're going to hear some more from James Webb. We'll be back.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Such a dynamic interaction of real life stuff going on here. If you're tuning in right now, you're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. This is a special rebroadcast presented by The Good Life Hawaii as part of our classics collection, providing a connection with stories of faith and life from our featured guests. Our programs are now downloadable, accessible 24/7 at thegoodlifehawaii.org. You might even be asking, how can I have a relationship with Christ like James Webb does? Well, click the Get to Know Jesus tab when you go to our website. We have more resources, too. Now, our program, led by Alfredo Canencia, Martin Arinaga, and Billy Lyle, and our featured guest, James Webb.
We've been talking with James about the good life and how God is able to redeem our lives. And what the devil, or maybe the world, meant for evil, God can always turn it around. And we're talking with James here about how, you know, God's been blessing his life and, you know, how he met his wife at his workplace, and the Lord's been really just pouring out his blessings upon your life. Mm-hmm. James, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, the amazing thing is we had to wait a little while. My wife's a nurse, and so we had to wait for her to get in her new grad program, and so we're actually going to go on a delayed honeymoon here in a little while. And, you know, God is so good to me. I mean, I got my ticket paid for. Mine and my wife's ticket paid for, and then we have a free place to stay in Paris in an apartment right in the middle of Paris,
Paris, France,
not Las Vegas, Paris, France.
Got it.
For our honeymoon, and so I leave next week. I'm so excited.
Wow.
It's just
that's awesome.
It's been just God's blessing on my life has been so amazing since I've got out. I mean, He's provided for me, you know, in so many different ways. You know, I mean, financially and just, I mean, there's so many ways God has blessed me since I've got out. I mean, I could go into story after story. And
would you have ever imagined you'd be sitting here saying all this?
I would never imagine I would be sitting here.
Life
no
and drugs
way.
And all of that. I mean, wow.
Well, we want to take a little direction in your story and maybe look from a different angle in what your parents went through. And your mom and dad, you know, James' dad was a senior pastor at Grace Bible Church for many years. Mm-hmm. Is now retired and doing greater things for God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but, you know, what your parents went through and really sometimes we forget about them. You know, we think about the victim or the person that's going through.
Right.
The hard times, but we forget about the family and the loved ones around them.
Right.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about
You know, I can't even imagine the pain I put my parents and my sister my sister through, you know, just family members. Because, you know, I mean, I wouldn't show up for Christmas. I wouldn't show up for New Year. You know, I'd run away from home during those times. And just my dad would have to go and counsel with people. And my mom would go counsel with people about their lives being messed up while I'm messing their lives up, you know. And I can't even imagine the pain I put them through. But, you know, my mom used to go in my, when I'd run away or when I wouldn't come home at night, my mom would, and they would just go and pray on my bed every night. And they would just get on their knees and just pray on my bed. And you know, just, I mean, I'd ask my mom, oh, what's up with dad? And, you know, oh, he's fasting for you. You know, I mean, just, they'd go on these long fasts just for me, you know, and I would still just blow them off. And my mom would have dreams of me just, when Jesus was sitting on the cross and I was walking up to his face and slapping him in the face. And she asked me, and, you know, I just blow them off. But, I mean, because I didn't want to feel the pain inside. And I wanted to – I was so self-centered and didn't really care about anybody. I'm not hurting anybody else. I'm just – I'm doing my thing. But you when you're out there doing that, you don't realize how much pain you put your family through and everybody else, because you're so self-centered and so involved. And, you know, if you're out there and you have family members doing drugs, there is hope. There is hope. Yeah. My life is a testimony. Sure. My life is a testimony of what God can do, his redemptive power. And you know what? There's hope. Keep praying. Don't give up. You know, and try and talk to people. Sometimes they're not in the right place to talk to you, but let them know that you care and that you're there for them. And that's all, you know, really praying and just letting them know that, hey, I'm here. Whenever you want to change your life, I'm here for you.
Wow.
You know, and maybe you've been burned by your family members, because lots of family members have been burned by you know, they've gotten robbed, or you know, they've done so many things that they're tired of the people, and but God can redeem it. I mean, I've burned my family. I did so many rotten things to the, you know, and they still love me through all this, and it's just it really made it easy for me to understand God's love.
Right, because
of their love for me. And so I really never struggled with God's love because of just the amazing love that my parents had for me.
What did you learn about God's love through your parents?
That, you know, God isn't out there trying to trick me or trying to mess with me or trying, you know, he just loves me no matter what. He loves me. And I mean, really wants the best for me. My parents have been the greatest cheerleaders I've ever had in my life. You know, I'm just cheering me on, James, you can do it. You can, you know, and that's what God is to us. You know, he's our biggest cheerleader. And, and you know, he loves us and he wants us to see do great things, because we're all called to do great things in life. And, you know, it just like each one of us reaching one person a year is a great thing, you know. I mean, and when you go to heaven, God's there going, good job. And that's what I want. You know, that's what I dream of.
At the we're closing getting to the close, but you may have some thoughts if you wanted to follow up and speak with James later on. I know last week we had a listener that wanted to have some resources, so we have that information ready for you. JCCY.org. Go to that. Go to contact us, and we'll send us a note. We'll make sure and follow up with you. You know, one question I do want to ask is, are you done? Now, here you are today, but do you ever get done? Where are you going from now? How does one, once you get this kind of fulfillment, this kind of redemption, this kind of salvation, where do you go from here?
Well, I think you keep working. I mean, you keep following God. You put one step in front of the other. You know, I mean, one foot in front of the other. Because if I start thinking about way down the line, I'll get messed up and I'll go back and do drugs, because that scares me.
I think one of the things that maybe for you, James, what I see in your life is really what God has done for you, that you'll be able to share with someone else.
Right.
And by doing that, it's like you redeeming yourself afresh and seeing it when you see someone's life change.
Right.
Because God, what God did for you, definitely he wants to do for others.
That's right.
And, you know, we can sometimes get in our Christian bubbles and just think about me, myself, and I, which I call sometimes the unholy trinity, just thinking about ourselves.
Right.
But really, it's God blesses us because he wants us to help other people.
That's right.
And I think what your parents have, you know, showed to you and displayed to you the love of God, God is calling you to do the same thing to other people. Yeah. And, you know, working with the kids that you're working with in Kalihi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I grew up in Kalihi. Right. And let me tell you what, a lot of those young people, they come from broken homes.
Yeah.
They're hurting.
Yeah.
And they're looking for love. And you can be that example of God's love to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Real powerful.
Yeah, I love what you said just about we all have people in our lives that are messed up. You know, I was messed up. We were all messed up at one point. And I love what you said. Just don't give up on them. Love them unconditionally.
Right.
And when they're ready to change, I'll be here for you.
Right.
I think that's such a huge lesson for all of us to learn. Don't judge. You know, don't condemn.
Right.
Don't start cursing people out, but love them.
Right.
And at the right time, they'll be ready to change. Right. Yeah. That's so huge, James. Thank you.
James, could you close and maybe pray for those people who are maybe, you know, maybe their lives are messed up and they're asking themselves, can God really turn this thing around and that God would give them a second chance in life? Yeah.
Right. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for each person who's out there who's wondering if this is for them. If you've got a big plan for their life, Lord, your word says you have plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future.
Mm-hmm.
So I pray for everyone out there, just even questioning whether it's for them, Lord, that you would just speak to them, that you would just reveal yourself to them in a new way, Lord, in a way that they've never known before, and they would just know that you are God through that. And I pray that, Lord, you would bring hope to people's lives, Lord, because you've done it for me, and you can do it for anyone else, God. And I just thank you that today would be their day of salvation for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pray that, Lord, you would just speak to them, you would bless them. And, Lord, we just pray that they would get themselves connected in a church, in a small group, Lord, and that they would be able to know your love for them. And we just thank you that you are a God of second chances, and you would give that second chance, third chances, for me, millions of chances. So I thank you, God, for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sometimes it sounds like and feels like we do need a million chances. I don't know about you, but sometimes things can get pretty rough. And in those dark moments, in those quiet moments, even in those lonely moments, when you really feel a sort of a gaping sensation of aloneness and you wonder, can God pull me out? Is God here? Can God understand what I'm going through? Can I make sense of where I'm at in my life? Well, the Lord says, yes, there is some sense that can come out of it, more than some. More than that, there's a purpose even for those rough moments. There's hope in Christ for you. This has been a special rebroadcast of a previously recorded show featuring James Webb. If you'd like to learn more about our show or need prayer or want to find out what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. I also have a list of partner churches as well as partner businesses who are able to help meet your needs. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our featured guest today, James Webb. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-hosts, Alfredo Canencia, Martin Arinaga, and Billy Lyle, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.